By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. God is good, and all the time his word is powerful. Jesus said about his words in John 6:63, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." That is how he describes his word. How do we know this is true? Because he used the word and said, "Let the earth bring forth grass." Grass is a living thing. How do we know his word is life? The word said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind." Living creature, and they came into existence. How do we know his word is life? Psalm 148, verses 1, 2, and 5 tell us, "The hosts of heaven and the angels he commanded, and they were created." How do we know his word has life? He stood outside of the tomb of a dead man named Lazarus, and all he did was to speak. In John 11:43, "And when he thus has spoken, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' And at the voice of Christ, at the spoken word of Christ, a dead man woke up." The words of God are life. I need a louder amen than that. For the words of God, they can change your life. And what is the life in the word of God? The very life of Christ. The very life of God is in his word. I cannot explain how. Jesus said in John 6:63, "It is the spirit that quickeneth." Quickeneth means to give life. Spirit refers to the Holy Spirit, who is divine being. "The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Jesus said the spirit gives life. Jesus said the word is spirit, it is life. Nothing will change your life like accepting the word of God as it reads. Nothing will change your children like the powerful word of God. I thank God for his simple word. The problem is not the word of God. The problem is we do not believe. Thus saith the Lord. Because the carnal nature naturally doubts. Let's pray. Loving Father in heaven and lovely Father in heaven, thank you so much, dear God, for preserving the breath of life in our nostrils today, a day when many people died all over the world. We thank you, Father, for a relatively quiet life in a world where bombs are going off every day in certain parts of the world and life is uncertain. We thank you for homes, transportation, food, some money in the bank, clear minds. We thank you the police are not looking for us. Thank you for knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, Father, if we've offended you, forgive us, please. Wash away the sin with the powerful detergent of the blood of Jesus Christ, which is his life. I present myself to you, Father, as a weak man made of dirt. And I ask you, Lord, glorify yourself by using this person made of dirt. Whatever blessings people receive, surely they will know it came from you, not from me. Forgive me where I've offended you, and let your spirit possess me from top to bottom, so that your word is heard, your voice is heard, and not mine. Remember the conflict in the Middle East, Father, Israel and Iran. Father, we're not here concerned with right and wrong. We're concerned with suffering with regard to this conflict. Bring about an end, dear Father, because innocent people are suffering. Dear God, bless the sick. Touch them, Father, and bring relief. Bless the United States of America, dear God. Guide the minds of the leaders and remind them as clearly as you can righteousness exalteth a nation. Put a double blessing all children who are listening, whether in this building or online. Bless our online audience, dear God. If there are non-Seventh-day Adventists listening, bless them in a very sweet way. In Jesus' name I pray, let God's people say, amen and amen. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. We'll read verse 1. Genesis 1 verse 1. Well, you shouldn't have to go to Genesis 1 verse 1. Let's just say, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, when we read heaven and earth, we can see, or we should see, everywhere and everything. Everything in heaven, everything on earth was made by God. Which means God had to exist before everything. We read in my recitation, Colossians 1:17, He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Favor number 3, I always ask of you, think, if God made everything in heaven and everything on earth, He had to exist before everything. Which means God is not a created being. God is creator. Can you say amen? I'll say it again. God is not a created being. The Father is not created. The Son is not created. The Holy Ghost is not created. All three are divine. All three have pre-existed. It is a question we cannot fully answer. It's a mystery, but it requires our attention because the mind is blessed as we try with humility, with our shoes off our feet like Moses, to understand. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, everything in the heaven and earth, which means we have infinite and we have what? Come on, say loudly, even if you're wrong, speak loudly. We have infinite and we have finite, yes. The finite was made by the infinite, not the other way. You cannot make God. You have to think. You look as if you're thinking. Infinite, finite. God, infinite, made heaven and earth finite. Now, who was this God precisely? When we say God created heaven and earth, who are we referring to very directly? Let's go to John chapter 1. We'll read from verse 1 our subject, what a shame. John 1, reading from verse 1. It's another very familiar Bible passage, which you also know quite well. Say it with me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In other words, the Word was divine. And so we have two beings in that verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That is more than one. The Word was God. That's unity or oneness in nature, in being. They are both divine. But remember, there are two. Verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. The same being the Word in verse 1. That is the same. Verse 3. All things were made out by Him. Who is Him? The Word. And I'll slow down so you can think. Verse 1 identifies the Word and God. They're two separate beings, but they're equal. Verse 2 just repeats verse 1 essentially. The same was in the beginning with God. We have two again. Verse 3, all things were made by Him. We have one. And without Him, finish the verse, was not anything made that was made. When you see a tree, you see the work of the being called the Word. When you see a bird, you see the creative power of that being called the Word. But who exactly was the Word? Let the Bible tell you in verse 14 of John chapter 1. Our subject, what a shame. Read with me. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Stop. Was it the Holy Ghost who came in human form? Was it the Father who came in human form? Who was it? Jesus the Son, yes. He, the Word, became flesh. We know from verse 1, He and the Father are equal. We know from verse 3, He made everything, and without Him, nothing was made. Now in verse 14, we're told, he decided to come in the form of a created being. Go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Do you have verse 8 of Isaiah 55? Read with me. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. Now, keep reading. For as the heaven is what? Higher than the earth. Stop. How high is that? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is saying, an infinite being, his thoughts are vastly different from the thoughts of a finite being. Now, the Holy Ghost inspired the Bible writers, but even though they were inspired by the Holy Ghost, they were still human. They were still limited, so they are struggling to express concepts with a human mind. Let me say it again, even though they were led by the Spirit of God, they were still human and they had to use human language. And the best that Isaiah can use is, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways, the way I function, higher than the way you function. Then try to imagine the distance Jesus Christ had to come to be one of us. What's our subject? What a shame. Let's introduce the shame. Philippians 2. Let's read from verse 5. Philippians 2, reading from verse 5. Remember, if I ever go too quickly, tell me slow down. Philippians 2, reading from verse 5. When you've arrived at that verse, say amen. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, that's before he came to the earth, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Now, let's read that again. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, equal with God, did not think that high status something he should hold on to as long as there were sinners on the earth. In other words, Christ could have remained in heaven as the commander of the angels, sitting on the throne with the Father, equal with the Father. His word had all the authority of the Father's word. It was he that made heaven and earth. It was he that said, let there be light. It was this Christ. He left that. Came this vast distance, higher than heaven is from earth. He covered that gap, which was downward, to become one of us. Not while we were sinless. Are you with me? He did not take human form when Adam was sinless. He took human form and human nature, which was corrupt. He took our weak nature and he came to show us, among other things, reasons why he came. This life that God requires can be lived in this human condition. Every state has a motto. Missouri, what's Missouri's state title or expression? What kind of state is it? The show me state. Yes. I sometimes say, God is from Missouri, because God says, if you love me, show me. Show me. Human beings, they're saying to Christ, or Christ is saying, I will show you how to live a victorious spiritual life. I will show you. Not from above. I'll come down and be one of you. I will show you. And so he came. Let's go back to 4. Let's stay in Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself. This is voluntary. Of no reputation. Human beings, we like to make ourselves of reputation. He made himself of no reputation. This is humility. Took upon him the form of a servant, slave, and was made in the likeness of man, fallen man. And being found in fashion as a man, in other words, a representation, a representative of fallen man, he humbled himself and became what? Obedient. How far? Unto death. Finish it. Even the death of the cross. You see, there's death, and there's death. If I had to pick a form of death, I would not pick fire. I would not pick eaten by a shark. I would not pick eaten by a lion in East Africa. I would not pick being hit by a bus. I would pick laughing gas. I would pick as a, what's that injection called? What do they call it? A lethal injection with a sanitized needle. No pain, no suffering. The Bible says he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the lowest form of death. Obedient unto death. Some of us obey God if he does this or that. Jesus obeyed to obey. Without conditions on the Father. John 8:29, he that hath sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. Why? For I do always those things that please him. Obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross, the most horrible way to die in those days. So horrible, no Roman could legally be crucified. It was reserved for non-Romans. It was too horrible to be inflicted on a Roman. What's our subject? What was the shame? Becoming one of us. But he became one of us, took that shame, that through him we might become one with the Father. Not that we might become divine, that will never happen. We can become one with the Father. We can be united to the Father through him, through his shame, through his humiliation, through his voluntary death, through his life of suffering. When we accept that, believe that, receive him through that, the shame becomes the basis on which you and I can be one with the Father. So we go from what a shame to what a glory. Are you following me? In other words, Jesus came this way, that through faith in him, you and I may go how? That way. For your sakes, he became poor, that you and I might become rich spiritually. Let us go to Hebrews 11. We're looking at the humanity of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2, reading verse 14. Reading from verse 14, when you found it, say amen. Say it with me, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Who are the children? Humanity. Let's read it again. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. The same way we're flesh and blood, we're human. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might do what? Destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them, verse 15, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For as much then as the children, humanity, are partakers of flesh and blood, that's a physical being, Christ became physical, he also himself likewise took part of the same flesh and blood. Now let me show you what Jesus was like before he came. Go to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, we'll read from verse 36, our subject, what a shame. For those of you online, thank you so much for joining us. I got a text today that someone said, they're listening, don't recall exactly where, but thank you for connecting wherever you are. I really mean it when I say may God bless you and then use you to bless someone else. What book did I say? Luke, what chapter? 24, reading from verse 36. Let me pray again. Loving Father, as I continue speaking, keep me conscious of my responsibility to speak for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Pause. Look at the expression, Jesus himself. Why do you think Luke writes that? All right, notice, Jesus himself. He wasn't a ghost. He was real. He wasn't some social savior. You know, all societies have so-called saviors. You vote for me, I'll deliver you. You support me, I'll do this, I'll do that. Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed what? They're seen a spirit. Now, Jesus tells us a little about spirits and why he wasn't a spirit when he rose. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. So in verse 36, we have Jesus himself. Luke writes. In verse 39, we have I myself. In other words, he does not want the disciples to doubt. Keep reading. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. Now let's pause on that. What does Jesus tell us about a spirit? They don't have flesh and bones. Now remember I said earlier, this is a subject that requires us to remove our shoes from off our feet. We don't understand very much. Let's look at the little that the Bible gives us. A spirit, Jesus says, does not have flesh and bones. Now angels are also called spirits, which means there are levels of spirit. Because if the Father is a spirit, John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if God is a spirit, he is a higher form of spirit than angels, who in Hebrews 1:13-14 are called spirits. God is a spirit. Jesus says a spirit does not have flesh and bones. In other words, Jesus says, I am not a spirit. I am. If I have flesh and bones, I am physical, human. Physical, human. I've come from the grave as I went down physically. With a glorified body, he came up, but still physical. I am physical. Handle me. Which means you cannot grab a spirit. Have I lost you? You cannot grab a spirit. Jesus said, I'm not a spirit. Grab me. But he wants to go so far to prove to us he is real. The Bible says in verse 40, when he had thus spoken, he showed unto them his hands and his feet. Verse 41, and while they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, what? Have ye here what? Any meat? Now, a spirit does not have flesh and bones. What else does a spirit not do? Eat. We're not inventing, we're just reading the Bible. Jesus said, I am proving I am not a spirit by eating. Give me some food. They gave him a piece of a fish, broiled fish, and of a honeycomb, and he took it, he'd eat it before them, meaning right as they watched him in their presence, he consumed food. A spirit does not eat. In other words, I am human. The mighty God Before Christ became human, he was a spirit. We had Father Spirit, Son Spirit, Holy Ghost Spirit. How he clove his divinity in humanity, we will never fully understand. All we know is he was really, really human. In John chapter 4, he sat on the well because the Bible says he was tired. Isaiah chapter 40, the creator of the ends of the earth is neither weary, neither faint. On the boat, on the lake, in a storm, he was asleep. Psalm 121 verse 4, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So a divine being doesn't eat. A divine being doesn't sleep. Jesus slept. Jesus had food. On the cross, John 19:28, he said, I'm thirsty. A being that doesn't eat doesn't drink, because both represent food and sustenance. I am saying Jesus left a form of existence which had no restraints to come in a form that had restraints. So the Creator placed himself in a condition of restraint. He had to eat. He had to drink. He got tired. He had to sit and rest. All of that to understand what you and I go through and to show us the way. What's our subject? What a shame. His life is for us a pattern of victory and overcoming. In his human form. Let's go to Matthew 4 as we continue. What a shame. In the human form of Christ, here is what he accomplished through the power of the word. Matthew chapter 4, reading from verse 1, our subject, what a shame. And I hope someone has asked God to put his words in my mouth. And according to the counsel from Ellen White, we're trying to proceed with our shoes off our feet on this very, very delicate subject. Matthew 4, reading from verse 1, the Bible says, what? Now was Jesus, what? Led up of the Spirit, where? Into the wilderness to what? To be tempted. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. A spirit does not fast. A being that does not eat food does not fast. We're thinking, are you with me? You say yes because you're nice, but are you with me? Let me say it again. If I can live without eating, there's no need to fast. A spirit does not eat. Consequently, a spirit does not fast. The fact that Jesus fasted tells us he was human. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God. Now the expression Son of God there means someone equal with God. Let me say it again. When Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Jews tried to kill him because they understood he was saying what? I am equal with the Father. Lucifer knew who he was. Because before Lucifer fell, he was the closest angel to Christ. Are you listening to me? The person closest to you can do you the greatest damage. Knowing who Christ was, he knew this was the one long ago who said, let there be light, the great creator. Now in human form, he wants to conquer him in human form. Because in his divine spirit form, he cast him out. Can he do it in human form? If thou be the Son of God, if you're all that, as we say, command these stones to be made bread. This is the same one who commanded and things came into existence. But he answered and said, verse 4, Matthew 4, read it for me. It is written. Finish it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, let's look at the expression man. What did Jesus mean by man? Tell me something about man. human. What else? As opposed to God. We have man, God, infinite, infinite. Man is finite. Tell me something about man. Is God's creation? What else? He fails notoriously and glorious. Well, yeah, he fails very bad. Spectacularly. Tell me something else about man. He's weak. He's what? He dies. Mm-hmm. Sinful. Mm-hmm. Helpless. Man. This species. Are you with me? This species called man. Not just one person. There's a species called man. Because the Bible says, put not your trust in man. Because man is weak. Man is helpless. Man doesn't know the beginning from the end. Man can't see. Man is unreliable. Man is all of everything negative. Put not your trust in man. Put your trust in God. That's a different species now. Are you with me? God is reliable. God is trustworthy. God is merciful. He's long-suffering. He's good. He's forgiving. He's all of that. Don't put your trust in man. Which means, when a crisis arises in your life, go first to God. Not man. You have the blind doing what? Leading the blind. They both end up where? In the ditch. This is very serious. The average church member, when a crisis arises, call the pastor. And God sits on the throne, watching. He is weak. He's helpless. Almost useless. And she's going to him first. And God is sitting on the throne. I don't understand. Listen to me carefully. Develop the habit of going to God automatically. Now, should we support one another? Yes. When Christ was suffering, he told the disciples, watch with me. Pray for me. Yes. They all fell asleep. That's man. Are you with me? When he was arrested, they all ran. That's man. Are you with me? When Peter was identified as one of his followers, cursed him and said, I don't know him. That's man. And Jesus said, man, that species shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. That's how Jesus dealt in his humanity with the attacks of the enemy. The word of God. Go to Matthew 8 with me quickly. Matthew 8, we'll read verse 16. Our subject, what a shame. Let's read verse 16. Are you there now? Read with me. And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits. How? With his word. The same word that rebuked Satan in the wilderness, Matthew 4 and Luke 4, the same word drove spirits out of people. But we know what the Bible says about his word. It is spirit. It is life. And so Jesus came that far distance, higher than heaven is from earth. He came down. He came down. The greatest emotion in all of existence is the demotion of Christ. He went from five-star general to a private. Voluntarily. To show us how to fellowship with generals. Now here's what he says. Go to John 14. And he's telling you, John 14. Believe it or not, we're coming to the close of what a shame. John 14. Let's read from verse 8. We'll read several verses. And may the Lord put his words in my mouth as I slide down to the end of this presentation. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? In other words, Philip had been with him about 3.5 years. If you look at John 14, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, it's, most of it is red letter. Why? It's one long speech from Christ. And in John 18, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. So it's 3.5 years of public ministry. Jesus says, Philip, after 3.5 years, you don't know me. There's some Christians who walk with Christ for 50 years and don't know him. And our excuse is, he isn't finished with me yet. Why don't you let him finish? Yet hast thou not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now read verse 12, nice and clear. Read it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, go on, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go. Yes, Jesus said, what I did, you can do. Now, the difference between Christ and us, Christ was human and divine, we're only human. Are you with me? So we can never do Christ's work with the same level of quality. But we can come close. Jesus says, in other words, I open the eyes of the blind, you can do that. Of course, by his power. I heal the sick, you can do that. He certainly didn't mean you can forgive sins. Only God can do that. So we must be careful how we read, the works that I do shall ye do also. Whatever is possible then for a human being, are you with me? You can do it. Because I did it through my Father. Look at verse 10. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Now, if I dwell in you, I will do the works in you. Same arrangement. But how does Jesus get into us? Tell me the word. Studied, believed, obeyed. Because Jesus says, I am the Word. He did not say, I am paper and ink. He said, I am the Word. In other words, I am truth. When you receive truth, you receive the life of Christ. When you receive error, you work it out. Let me say it again in the presence of a holy God. When you receive truth, you receive the life of Christ. That same life that was available to Adam and Eve from the tree of life is available in the Word. We can't get to the tree of life, but it's available in the Word. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. Listen to me, this will change your life. What's our subject? What a shame. Christ came down to be one of us to show us how we may ascend. He descended that we might ascend and have fellowship with the highest beings in heaven, the Father, the Holy Ghost, and under them, angels, even while we're on this earth. I'm sure if you got an invitation to go to the White House, you'd go. You wouldn't go in jeans and flip-flops. You would dress. Are you listening to me? You get your hair done, get your nails done, toenails and fingernails. And you'd go. You'd make sure all your friends find out accidentally that you were invited to the White House. Now God is saying, you have an invitation to my house. I won't send someone to get you. I'll come for you. The White House will send you a car. No, I am coming for you to be with me. It's an invitation that lasts forever. It begins when you give your life to Jesus Christ. That God, that Creator, that Spirit who became flesh, he who said, let there be light, is it the same one who says in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. And then he tells you, ye are the light of the world. And so the light of Christ must be in us to bless others. How was this done? He came down. What a shame that you and I may have a way to go up. What a glory. Connect to Christ through acceptance of Him and obedience to His word. And in so doing, you will be connected with God. How many of you will say, Father, thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Can I see your hand? Coming down so low, stand up with me. We can never imagine how low Christ came. The great gap between divine and human, a sinful human. What a shame. But it's followed up by what a glory. Loving Father in heaven, thank you for your word, this profound subject, which with the shoes off our feet we try to touch. The comfort to us is that in our human condition, we can live a life that pleases you. Jesus showed us how. And when we accept Him, His life becomes our life. And as the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Father, as Jesus lived by your power, we can live by Jesus' power. We thank you for the shame that is grace, the humiliation, even unto death of Jesus Christ, that through faith in Him, we may be raised to levels we do not understand and will never deserve. If there's a man or a woman under the sound of my voice in this building or online who has not yet surrendered that life to you completely, saying in that surrender, I am willing to obey, let that person make that surrender now, dear God. Let the Spirit move him or her to surrender in humility as Jesus surrendered to our needs in humility and showed us the way to rise. He came down in shame to show us how to rise in glory. Thank you, God. Let us think of what we've heard. Let us recommit our lives to you, Father, please. In Jesus' name I pray. Let God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. Free listing of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website, or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.